Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. My friends, I begin today by reading a brief selection from Decider.com. If you've never heard of Decider, it's about the arts, kind of a monitor of what's going on in the world of film and television and theater. It is a website owned and operated by the New York Post. We begin. Disney's Pixar has decided to restore a same-sex kiss to its upcoming film, Lightyear, after it was previously cut, according to Variety. The animated prequel for Toy Story's Buzz Lightyear character, to be voiced by Chris Evans, features a relationship between two female characters. A kiss between the two had originally been removed, but following recent uproar from staff claiming that Disney executives had actively censored overtly gay affection in its feature films, the decision has reportedly been reversed. We at Pixar have personally witnessed beautiful stories full of diverse characters come back from Disney corporate reviews shaved down to crumbs of what they once were, read a joint statement from employees. The same-sex kiss in Lightyear will mark the studio's first, making it a major milestone for the LGBTQ community. In 2020's Onward, Lena Waithe voiced a lesbian cop, but her girlfriend was never seen. The brief scene led to the film being banned in Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. Okay, friends, that was from The Decider, but there's other news from other sources. Carrie Burke, president of Disney's General Entertainment Content, during a company-wide Zoom call, discussed plans to make 50% of Disney characters a member of the LGBTQ community. 50%! This is really not the shocking news most people think. It's been on the horizon for quite some time. Disney has been floating this idea for many years, but they've been subtle about it. I personally have been expressing ongoing concern, and not just me. There's an entire book that's been out for years called The Trojan Mouse. Before I go on, I love Disney. Classic Disney, that is. The real Disney, as in the vision of Walt Disney, who is probably turning in his grave right now. I grew up on Disney movies and Disney TV, such as his weekly NBC show, The Wonderful World of Color. I think his animated movies are brilliant. I think his movies that are a combination of real life and animation are brilliant. Mary Poppins is among the best films ever made. I admire Walt Disney for having been a risk taker, a pioneer, far ahead of his time. They predicted that he'd lose his shirt on Snow White because nobody would sit through a feature-length cartoon. They predicted he'd lose his shirt on Disneyland, but it truly became the happiest place on Earth until it spawned other happy places, such as Disney World in Florida and other Disney theme parks around the world in places such as Europe and Japan. Disney was a visionary. He was not a man who walked in lockstep. I can't imagine him embracing the woke agenda. All morality put aside, he probably would have just rejected the uncreativity, the straitjackets being put upon people, the compulsion to listen to lobbyist groups. I believe he would have resisted all that. But whether he would have in the present, who knows? We do know what he did in the past. The past was enchanting. My wife Dana and I have taken more vacations to Disneyland than we can count. We were season pass holders for many years. And also, before I go on, to be fair, the invasion of the LGBTQ agenda is not limited to Disney. It's reached Star Wars and Marvel. Actually, Star Wars and Marvel are both owned by Disney, but it's reached Star Trek too, which isn't owned by Disney yet. But the Disney Corporation does create a special problem because of its family reputation. In fact, that used to be the way all Disney movies were advertised. Walt Disney, the most trusted name in family entertainment. Well, the term family, of course, has been turned on its head in our new woke culture. I remember sounding the alarm a few years ago when the movie Frozen came out. Now, I should say that artistically, Frozen was an excellent movie. I often go through this, my review as an artist and my review as a Christian. They clash, but I need to be honest on both fronts. Frozen was an excellent movie, not one of my personal favorites, and I got awfully tired of hearing the song Let It Go constantly at Disneyland, but still, on its surface, a good film. I say on its surface for a reason, because getting back to that song, Let It Go, I always had a weird, unusual feeling about it right from the start, right from the beginning. Oh, musically, it's pleasant. Lyric-wise, it's clever. But I always felt there was more to this movie and this song than meets the eye. So finally, I did an internet search only to discover something which really wasn't a surprise. Much of the gay community views this song as a veiled reference to a gay person coming out of the closet. While in the actual story, Queen Elsa accepts who she is as far as her power to freeze things, it was really about gay people, according to many, people accepting who they are. But back when Frozen came out, Disney would not have felt that our country was ready for this. The movie would have flopped. It's just that simple. A high majority of parents would never have allowed their children to see it, and conservative parents make up a huge block of customers and patrons. Flash forward a few years later, there was serious discussion, partly inspired by pressure from the militant gay activists, to have Elsa come out of the closet as a lesbian in Frozen 2. That did not happen, but I will be very surprised if it doesn't happen in Frozen 3. This is because the discussion regarding Frozen 2 was a trial balloon. When asked why it didn't happen in Frozen 2, a Disney rep said, "We don't feel Elsa is ready yet for a relationship." Okay, ready yet? That's not quite the same as saying that that would be inappropriate for children. End of discussion. No apology. The director of Frozen 2 said Elsa speaks to so many people and that the film is creating dialogue about LGBTQ representation. She said this in an interview for IndieWire.com. She goes on and says, "It means the world to us that we're part of these conversations." Tony winner Idina Menzel, who voices Elsa, previously said she thought an online petition to give her character a girlfriend was great. So yeah, it's probably going to happen in Frozen 3. And what parent is going to tell their little girl that she can't go to see Frozen 3? That's the strategy. We see it in television all the time now. We see it in other programs all the time. They lure the audience in during season 1, get them invested in the story, the plot, the characters, the arc. Then in season 2 or season 3, one of the characters or one or more of the characters starts to come out of the closet. Meanwhile, a transgender character had a brief cameo in a recent Disney Pixar film, I alluded to that earlier, and in Disney's live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast, there's a brief flirtation toward the end of the film between two men at a dance. But the film is almost over, the glance is subtle, that way even disapproving people say, "Well, it's just for a few seconds. I guess I can live with that." And that's how they sucker you in. They get by with a few subtle seconds, and if it works, next time they go for broke. Or go for woke, I should say. Now, in the Disney Plus television series Big Shots, about a girls' high school basketball team, a decent series during its first few episodes, well-acted, well-written, entertaining, they featured a few episodes in a lesbian kiss between two major characters. Walt Disney, the most trusted name in family entertainment. So, why should we be concerned? Some say, well, live and let live. But they're not letting everybody live and let live. You're not allowed to have an opinion against this. The day will come and is already here when they're trying to censor podcasts like this. Putting aside the moral question, a question that today's woke culture wants to silence, even if the lifestyle were accepted, even if I accepted that lifestyle, it's a very small part of the population. Should it be that pervasive in film? And there's an even greater concern because I believe the day will come when it will be against the law to make films or television shows without gay characters. There was already a lawsuit against a Christian documentary film on marriage because it didn't talk about gay marriage, and in Hollywood, nobody qualifies for an award anymore without including LGBTQ characters or people of color. Now, most of us don't object to people of color being featured in films, but that's why they lump it all together. And if I were a person of color, I would find that insulting. think that LGBTQ people are being portrayed as if they're a race. Listen, I don't mean to be unsympathetic to a person's struggle, and I've often said most LGBTQ people just want to be left alone and live in peace. It's the militant ones, and they're the few. That's the squeaky wheel trying to get the grease. That's where my objection is. So I have no concern about a person's color. I do believe, though, that writers and directors should be able to create any character in any story they want. Gay, straight, this color, that color. My friends, as Disney goes, so goes the country. I, for one, have been giving Disney far less business and may discontinue my business altogether. I immediately stopped watching Big Shots, and I had been enjoying the show. Now, the interesting thing about a streaming service is that simply by refusing to watch anymore, you're making a statement and it's recorded. They can track exactly where somebody discontinued, exactly what episode they were on. That gay kiss episode was my last. I liked the show, but I refused to watch anymore. I saw that and I said, okay, I'm out. Now, the truth is, if that happened once in a blue moon in a movie, I could live with it. The politically correct obligation to put it in everything is what I'm resisting. Boycotts are not my personal procedure. Mine, obviously, is more in the area of speaking out. That's how I resist. I resist while it's still legal to resist. Years ago, I told friends and family the day would come when Disneyland would no longer say before their fireworks show, "Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls." Usually when I make those kinds of comments, I'm told by my friends that I'm being too pessimistic, but it happened. As a matter of fact, everything I've predicted about this movement has happened because sadly, it's not that difficult to predict. I realize this could all stop tomorrow if enough people rise up and tell Disney that they are finished as customers. So far, that is not happening, although a few stockholders are expressing concern about Disney being too vocal about politics. And Netflix, not a Disney company, but another company, another major company, they apparently have had enough of the woke movement. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Disney will follow suit. Maybe there's hope. But so far, the Disneyland train seems to be on its way to a whole different kind of Tomorrowland, and Tinkerbell is no longer a fairy in a fantasy. By the way, I don't mean that as a derogatory joke. The term fairy is actually being embraced by the gay community these days, even though it was once considered a way to make fun of them. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.